Amen. Sure. Well, we were kind of like in worship there, and to everybody that's visiting us from all the different congregations, Sunnydale and Edgemead AM and all that kind of stuff, it's good to have you with us. God bless you. May you always be refreshed by His presence, by His Word. May you be inspired to grow and become the man, the woman that God intended you to become. May nothing sidetrack you from that. May nothing derail that, because God's got some great things in store for you. Come on, there must be a louder amen than that one. Yo, 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 yo. So, we've been talking about prayer, and I can't go over everything, but we've pretty much been talking about how important prayer is. We've been speaking about how prayer is based out of a relationship. It also requires our obedience. And last week, we spoke about the prayer of thankfulness. Can you remember that far back? Thankfulness? Okay, and then you've got homework to do. We did? Yes, I said go and live it. So, did you express your thankfulness? So, here's the important thing of last week. I said what we declare that we have with God has to be seen. And the Bible speaks about give thanks to the Lord. He's talking about, always talking about being thankful. Yeah? If you've read the book of Psalms lately, you'll find in there a lot about give thanks or be thankful. So, did you go to somebody and thank them for who they are, what they did, what they mean to you? I have one. This is not a very successful class if we are going to pass our matric. Here's the deal. Prayer is not a wand that we just kind of like wave around and it happens. There's some things it requires us to do. So if you don't pray, nothing happens. But He gives us things we can do so that we can experience the goodness of God. Is there anybody here that doesn't like to be appreciated? Please put up your hand because I'm about to pray for you. You see, everybody wants to be appreciated. God doesn't have an image problem. He doesn't have a low self-esteem. But what He has done is He has given us things that can help us. And that's why He says praise Him. Because it helps us. He's already seated on the highest throne. There's no higher that He can go. And so when He tells us to praise Him, when He tells us to be thankful, it's not for His sake, it's for our sake. So while we were in worship, and so often we limit God on how He wants us to function because of how we think. I need you to listen now. You see, we can't. I'm going to say this tongue in cheek because maybe there are some people that can. But we can't be involved in two conversations at the same time. That's why it's tongue in cheek. There's some people that can. I believe ladies can multitask. There was a time Joel asked Shirley, how do you know that I'm doing these things? He says, because moms have got eyes behind their heads. They can see you, whatever. So, and it's amazing that sometimes you ask your kids the question and their eyeballs go big like this and they wonder, how did you know? And you weren't there. Okay, so that's off my topic now. So what happens is, because we can't have multiple conversations at the same time, sometimes we bring that into our serving of the Lord. Now I want to ask you, how many people do you think are praying to the Lord every second of every day? Millions. Do you think God dropped one conversation? Do you think God dropped one call, one cry, one plea? No, He hasn't. He's never dropped one. But then sometimes when we come, you see, because there's a difference between our personal prayer life and sometimes our corporate prayer life needs to be different. My personal life is me just talking to Him. But when I come corporately, sometimes we need to, in one voice, in one accord, the words in one accord, in Acts chapter 7, when they wanted to stone Stephen, and he was talking to them about the gospel, it says they gnashed their teeth at him and they ran at him with one accord. So when you read one accord, it can be, it talks about unity, which is bad, but there's also about us doing it together. Doing it together. Because God's not confused with noise. Can you imagine a rugby stadium that they say, okay, cheer, and then everybody one at a time. It'll be crazy. But have you been in the stadium where everybody goes, what does it do to you? You see, sometimes our corporate praise, our corporate voice lifts the atmosphere of faith. And so we need to move. Don't limit God by how I think. No, we can only pray one at a time. No, there comes a time. You see, worship, we worship together. And I want to encourage us that we move out of limiting God. Okay, it's only one at a time. No, there comes times we can pray together. Guys, this is what we're praying about. We're praying for this. And then we individually, we lift our voices. We're praying about the same thing, but all our voices are going up to heaven and God is hearing every single cry. That is all for free. That has got nothing to do with what we're talking about. So we're going to pick up again where we spoke. So last week we spoke about Thanksgiving. So I want to build on that again. And the next prayer is a prayer of supplication or petition. Depending which translation you use, which one of that one is. This is the most frequent prayer that us as Christians use in our walk with the Lord. And as the Lord, and it's asking the Lord to do something for us, and it requires faith. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is not let me give this a try. No, this is praying, believing. Now, Jody said in the beginning, we don't determine when the answer comes. But we will knock on heaven's doors because I believe we serve a good, good Father. In fact, the Bible compares us as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. And so, supplication or petitions is praying for our needs, our desires, our problems. Listen, some of us are scared to knock on heaven's doors for some desires that we have. Who do you think put those desires there? Who puts the dreams in our hearts there? I believe God does. Now, if your dream is all wacky, then obviously, but because we love God and our hearts want to glorify Him, but yet there's some things on the inside. For example, there was a dream on the inside of me to be a pilot. And it took a long time, but after many years, somewhere God opened an opportunity for me to be a pilot. Did that change anything about my life? No, but it gives me some stuff to, and I've seen the earth from above ground level. And it's amazing. And also scary. So he wants us to present our desires to Him. He wants us to bring our problems. There's no big problems. There's no small problems. If it's a problem for you, God's interested in it. Come on. In Ephesians chapter 6, after telling us how to dress ourselves properly, spiritually, talking about with the armor, picking it up from verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation, covering your head, Basil adding in you, getting our head right, getting our thinking right, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in other words, getting my mouth right. We're talking about prayer. It says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So our thinking has got to get correct. Our speaking has to got to correct when we're coming and we're asking. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing. That's hard to live. Because things are real to us. Challenges are real. Deadlines are real. And to not be anxious in those is difficult. But as we get to know God and we know that God's got us and He's got these things and our faith level grows in trusting Him, then those things become possible. But it says there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He is saying, I want to hear the deep things of your heart. So supplication and petition means appealing or making a request to a higher authority. So when you've gone to court and it hasn't gone your way, what do? You appeal. It goes to a higher authority. When we are praying, it goes to the highest authority. It says, bring those things. I want to hear them. I want to hear all those things. The Thoris Dictionary talks about supplication as emphasized attitude of humility, a begging, imploring, pleading, and earnest entreating. In other words, when you pray, it's not just by the way. It's God, this is important. And I'm coming to your throne of grace. Biblically, it is a heartfelt of humble prayer, asking God to help us or to intervene. It's more than just a request. It is a deep-seated yearning and reliance on the Lord's power and mercy. Everything about our life is about His mercy. It's about His mercy. So supplication and petition is us presenting our needs or our requests to God. So the key characteristics of supplication, number one is humility. Humble yourself, He will exalt you. Come with humbleness. Number two, earnestness, a sincerity and urgent plea. How desperate are you? How desperate are you to change? How desperate am I to change? Depending on how desperate we are, what measures we're going to put into place. I remember listening to somebody, and he says, whenever you pray, it all determines how desperate you are. He says, so when you're praying and walking around, he says, life is okay. He says, but when life gets difficult, you kind of like fall to your knees. He said, one day, my life was so I was so under pressure. He says, I ran into my bedroom, but I fell on my knees by the door, and I slid on my knees all the way to my bed, and then cried out, God, help me, please. How desperate are you? How desperate am I? And then another characteristic is faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting in God's ability and His willingness to answer. You see, if we don't answer the question in our head that God is willing, remember when the people came to Jesus, are you willing? And He answered, I am willing. God is willing to answer our requests. And then the last thing is reverence. A respectful, awful approach to God. He is not our buddy that lives down the road. He is not the big boss upstairs. I believe that when you approach God in that way, you do not show respect for who He is. He will sneeze and you're gone. I believe He's my friend that sticks closer than a brother. I have the relationship. But you see, when I have a relationship, then I have respect in order, and I will not do anything that will damage them or ruin that. Yeah? As soon as we cross that line where we disrespect each other, your friendship has just gone out the back door. And so therefore, because I love God, I will approach Him. I will approach Him with boldness because He asked me to, but I will approach Him because He is the King of all kings. It is not supplication if there's no faith involved and there's no believing involved. Remember right in the beginning, it's all about relationship. Why? Because prayer is about believing and receiving. Believing and receiving. And we use the radio microphone as the example. If that receiver there is not receiving, it doesn't matter how much this thing sends, nothing's getting that side. our life is exactly the same. We got to learn to receive because God wants to say to give. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, where did I go to? Rewind. Okay. Two things we've got to be careful of and take note of. Prayer is not a place to try and convince ourselves that God can. I'm going to say it again. Prayer is not a place to try and convince ourselves that God can. Because the kind of words you're going to use is going to demonstrate whether you're really believing or not. You see, you'll come with kind of like, Lord, you know my situation, and I know that you're a good God, and if you're willing, that's not faith in action. You might seem that as a humble approach to God, but that's not. And so that's why in Hebrews 6, 4:16 it says, therefore let us boldly come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. In the NIV version, it says, let us approach God's throne with grace, with confidence. What does confidence mean? Confidence means that, no, if I ask for help, I know I'm going to get it. And so therefore, he says, approach his grace, his throne with confidence. You see, and let's bring it down to us as people. Those of us who have children, our children are not sheepish when they come and ask us for stuff. Dad. If do you think it would be, you know, I was thinking, no. If your child is like my son, as big as he is, he'll come and run and jump on my lap, and then my body cries. Because he's got bones in his bum that hurt. It's true. And he doesn't realize that he's almost half my weight already. In fact, he's past half my weight already. But that's the confidence that he had. And when he talks, he doesn't talk about, listen, our children have no concept about money. 1 rand and 10,000 rand has no difference. They don't understand those zeros. They only understand the one. Ah, there you are, one, it's no problem. And so they will come and they will say, oh, Dad, can't we get this thing? And it's like 10,000 rand. And my brain's saying, okay, now, how do I make that happen? And then I don't want to say to him, no, we can't because we don't have the money. I'm now saying, Jesus, how can we make this happen? Because you are a good, good father. I want to be a good, good father as well. I want my son to be able to come and knock on my door and boldly ask me stuff. That's the kind of relationship. Sometimes I'm going to say, okay, son, let's make this a project. How many cars are you prepared to wash? In Matthew 18, Jesus says this, truly I tell you, Matthew 18:3, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Some of us, we're just so glad to get out of our childhood days. But Jesus is saying, I want you to go back there because there's a concept that you had as a child that I want you to have now. We've forgotten. Some of us, we kind of like past that age so long ago, we've forgotten. In Matthew 19:14, Jesus says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. You know what's wonderful about children? What you tell them, they believe. And then we get older and our head gets in the way. That's why I told you in Ephesians 2, once we've got our head right, our thinking right, and we get our mouth right, we can come boldly. So that was the first thing. Second thing, don't pray our ideas, pray the Word of God. I'm going to say that again. Stop praying our ideas and pray the Word of God. When you have a need, go and find a scripture that promises that God can do that. And God will do that. And God wants to do that. And therefore, you stand on that thing. So every time you pray, you will be presenting God's word back to him. And Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. Every challenge that we face, the enemy wants to paralyze us because he wants to disconnect us. He wants doubt and unbelief to kind of grab us and cripple us. And therefore, everything you do is going to be a fight. Nothing falls in your lap. James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The what? The effective, fervent, that word fervent, by the way, is also supplication. Prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, your heart and soul needs to be in this thing when you're asking for it. I told you last week I'm going to America. I'm going to America. I'm telling you, from the middle of November till the end of December, you're not going to see me. I'm going to America. Do I have my tickets yet? I have my tickets. In Jesus' name, I have my tickets. But that's been something we've been talking since January. We've been asking God to make a way because there was no way naturally for this. And God has made a way. Now do yourself a favor and go on the internet and go and book a flight from Cape Town to Orlando and you'll see what that thing spits out at you. It scares you. It scares you. There was one lot for 250,000 rand. I'm thinking, is that airplane made of gold or what? I'm just prepared to go economy class. I'm not fighting for any other thing. Sheesh. That was all for free, by the way. And so when we pray, present the word. Father, in Hebrews chapter 10, you've called us to live by faith, and you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, I diligently seek you. You can see it by my lifestyle. You can see it by how I've walked with you for years now. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Ephesians 3, you're saying that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. You're able to do better than that. God wants you and I to dream, by the way. He wants us to dream. Isaiah 54, Father, I thank you, no weapon formed against me can prosper. No tongue that is raised against me can stand. In Jesus' name. Matthew 7. If you as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will you, our Father? Mark 10. Nobody has left houses and homes and families and lands that shall not receive in this life 100 times and persecution and eternal life. Walking with God, there's big sacrifices connected to it, and God understands that. But he's also promised to bless us. He blesses our obedience. Romans 8, Lord, if you be for me, who can be against me? Who can be against you? You see, that's the kind of prayer. And that might be foreign to many of us because we've grown up maybe a bit passive. But you see, when you get desperate and you've got your back in the corner and there's no way out, I want to tell you, passive prayers don't change anything. You're going to have to get angry on the inside, not with the Lord, but with the enemy. Because it's been recorded. He's not a nice person. So remember James 5, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see, effective is praying the word. Fervent is intense, passionate, enthusiastic, keen, and confident. That's what those words mean. So we're talking about praying supplications. And there's three areas in which you and I will pray supplications. Number one, for ourselves. How many of you remember, know that it's easier to pray for somebody else than it is for yourself? We are more gentle on others than we are on ourselves. But yet God says, I want you to pray. I want to hear your request. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Bring those things. The second is for all the saints. So the reason why God puts you in family is because then we become part of instrumental in what God helps to create this net, and we care and love for each other. And the one thing that we do in caring and love for each other, we pray for each other. Ephesians 6:18, pray always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then the third area is he tells us for those in authority. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. The reason why we pray for those in authority is so that life will go better for us. Because if they make bad decisions, guess what? We labor under that. So therefore, we need our leaders to have a godly influence. So when we pray for them, we need to be binding the demonic forces that want to channel their kind of thinking in a wrong way. We need to be praying for the Christians that hang around the decision makers of our nation so that they can influence decisions. We're getting quiet inside there. Prayer and supplication. Number three, prayer of agreement. Prayer of agreement. Matthew 18:18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, please listen, don't take the pendulum and swing it. You've got to interpret that thing through Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the asking over here is asking according to God's word, because there's some things that I can ask for that are not good for me. Now I want to ask you, as an earthly father, if your son comes and says, and he's 5 years old, and he says, please buy me a 9mm revolver. Silly example. You're not going to give it to him. He can scream, he can throw tantrums, he can stand on his head, he can not have a meal, it's okay. He's still not going to get the revolver. Why? That's what airsoft's for. Now, that was a crazy illustration. But all I'm just saying is that when we're asking here, we're asking with the kingdom of heaven in mind. And we're asking for God to position us in a place so that we can radiate his goodness and his glory. And that's why he's saying, if you can get somebody to agree with you, and if you want somebody to agree with you, you're going to have to show them in Scripture, listen, this is the Scripture that I'm standing on. Will you agree with me, please? And I want to tell you that Scripture says that when we pray that way, we are backed by the highest authority. It's heaven, because it says, it will be done by them by my Father in heaven. That's quite wild. When you go to Leviticus 26:8, it says, five of you shall chase 100, and a hundred of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. God is showing us here. Pierre showed us the power of multiplication of our finances. God is showing us here the power of when we get agreement going. When we get people standing together There's many times in the history of Israel where they would go against the armies and they were outnumbered. But God fought for them. God fought for them. So there's a power in agreement, and I want to tell you that there's power in corporate prayer. So we've been speaking about upping our prayer kind of like in the congregation. And so I'm really excited that we're joining in with the AM congregation on Monday nights, first Monday of every month, that we're going to pray together. And we're going to believe God for an absolute revival in this part of the vineyard where we are sitting, and God has placed us here for such a time as this. You see, so when we come together in corporate prayer, we should be praying like on a Sunday morning. We should be calling the presence of Jesus into this place. Because we are hungry for the presence of God. I don't know if you've ever seen children when they're hungry. It's like they're jumping up and down by the table there. Come on, when's the food coming? When's the food coming? We should be so hungry for the presence of God that we're saying, God, we can't wait. We can't wait. We won't sleep ourselves inside of here and say, well, I've done everybody a favor. No. That when we pray, we'll be praying that, man, the fire, when people park their cars in the parking area, the fire of God has already got hold of them. Where'd my notes go? Come back. Yo, yo, yo. Where are we? We're talking about prayer of agreement. Here we are. We should be praying that the fire of God comes, conviction comes, that the word of God would pierce our hearts. In the book of Acts, it says that when they spoke, the word pierced their heart. It brought conviction. It brought repentance. It brought change. Our worship should be something that this building would shake. I want to make a declaration. I'm praying that our worship and the presence of God would be so real, so tangible in this place that people on the outside would see fire, flames of fire on the roof. That when they go past and drive there, they would be like, what? They would want to come inside here to see what's happening, that there's fire on the outside, but nothing's happening on the inside except the glory of Jesus. We should declare the word of God over people that will bring freedom and peace and life and healing, wholeness. That people, when they come in one way, will never leave the same ever again. That we should call people into this place, call them from the north, the south, the east, the west. We call sinners home. We call backsliders home. We're going to build church? That's the kind of praying that's going to build church. The principle of agreement is born in heaven and has operated like that right from the beginning. How many of you remember the 2019 World Cup rugby? The Springboks were playing against the Japanese. Who wants to remember that game? Nobody. Here is a little nation. Sorry, somebody made a comment. Was it 2015? You see, I'm so scarred that it actually seemed even the scar's still there. And here is a little nation that has hardly any rugby experience, and they take our giant Springboks out. It's like, what? I think the whole world went into shock right there. What made the little Japanese people take out the great Springboks? They stood together, one heart, one mind, one soul, and they gave their everything on that field. I think they were broken for a whole month after that game. And that principle of agreement comes right back from Genesis chapter 1, 26. And God said, let us. Come, let us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. God called us to have dominion. We're not going to have dominion on our own. We're going to have dominion. Because we're building one kingdom. It's His kingdom. And its rule and reign will never end. I preach myself happy today. Jesus confirms that when He walks on planet Earth and He says in John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And you look at the very first church and how that is the birthmark on that in Acts chapter 2. It's when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly, I am believing for a suddenly moment in Jesus' name. Paul and Silas had that same thing in Acts 16. Having received such a charge, they put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, I pray that our worlds will be shaken like that suddenly in Jesus' name. I pray that those chains that have bound us for so long will fall from us in Jesus' name. I pray that the scales that have blinded us from seeing the things that God desires us to walk in will fall from our eyes suddenly in Jesus' name. There's the dynamic power in agreement. Find somebody to agree with you. And trust God for that. The last one I want to land on tonight, and it's just a very short one. The prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration. If you listen to many people, the people are praying, not the people, you sometimes hear people praying the prayer of consecration, and it's in the wrong place. Remember, you can't play tennis rules in a rugby game. It doesn't work. And so what happens is we see in Luke 22:39, and Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Verse 40, on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." What was Jesus praying in the situation there for? He was about to go to the cross. He was committing himself. So remember, he could have called a legion of angels and they would have taken him off the cross. But he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And so the prayer of consecration is not prayed when I'm asking God for something. I go and find the word of God for what I'm needing and I stand on that. But the prayer of consecration is when God requires me to go somewhere or do something, and the natural thing on the inside of me is, "Yee, I don't want this." I'll give you a couple of illustrations. Well, no, I don't want this, but sure, this is really going to throw my boat upside down. The Glovers have just had to do that. Something was presented to them, and they had to say, "Your will be done, Jesus. This is where you want me, we'll go." You see, when I went into the ministry, the company that I was working for wanted to send me on to further educate and become an electrical engineer. At the very same time, the call of God came upon my life, and I had to make a decision. Now, how many of you know that pastors are not the most well-paid jobs in the world? And so here you have an opportunity, man, I can go somewhere with this thing. And all of a sudden, the call of God comes. So now you've got this fight that you've got to, and I bow and say, "Jesus, what do you want? What do you want in my life?" I wasn't looking for ministry. Somehow, God put his finger on my life, and that's we went every time. Then, when I was in Zimbabwe and we came for the first time, I think I was about 15, came down to South Africa for a holiday. Man, it was amazing. It was like going to the land of milk and honey. You could get anything over here. It was so amazing. And I remember driving through Johannesburg, and I'd never seen a city that big before in my life. And I'm thinking, I never want to live here. So I land up in the ministry that side. Things happen, and all of a sudden, there's the knocking of the door to go to South Africa. And I remember somewhere in that Johannesburg thing, I don't want to live over here. Lord, I never want to live in South Africa. I love Zimbabwe. I think it's an amazing place, and I love the people, and I love everything, and I know it. And all of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. Will you go for me? And I had to say yes. And guess where I landed? In Joburg. Not when you had the cell phone that you could go to maps and find your way around. You got a dick map book like this for Johannesburg, and now you're trying to find your way around this place. You got no clue where north, south, east, west is or nothing. You don't know which suburb is where, and you're trying to follow this thing and not crash at the same time. I think if Shirley knew all the things that we would have to do and places we'd have to go, I don't think she would have married me. Come on, say, oh. We have moved around. And every time it's we bend and say, Lord, if this is what you've planned for us, we will bow. We will bow. 30 years ago, we used to live down in Fishhook. Well, not 30, but 30 years ago, we left. Where do you live after you lived in Cape Town? Klerksdorp. We went to Klerksdorp. And I remember driving out of here. And that visit in Cape Town for those 4 years were really, really difficult years. And I remember leaving and saying, God, I never want to live in Cape Town again. Oh, Lord. When he says, bow your knee. I'm back. No, yeah, it's not Fishhook. Hallelujah. Different scenery. Different people. Hallelujah. The prayer of consecration. Every single one of us need to pray that, because somewhere along the line, we're going to have to make a decision that we're going to move with God or we're not. And I want to say this to you. It's not worth not moving with him. It's tough. Now, the reason why he doesn't tell you what's coming is because if you knew what's coming, you would run the opposite direction. And I've also been clever now. I don't ask too many questions. I remember when the knock came to move to Ladybrand. And I went there. I didn't know where Ladybrand was. We had to find it on the map. Went there for the weekend. And I remember the person that had us in his home and showed us around. He made the statement. He says, please, if God's not bringing you, don't come. We've had too many people come and just go. Now, that doesn't put any pressure on you. And I didn't ask enough questions, because that place was in such a mess that when I landed there and I started to find out the bigger picture, there was a church and there was a school. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with a school? It was hard. It was hard. But God is faithful. God was faithful. That place was so hard that the bank was closing the bank account on us because our debt record was so bad. The church had withered down from like 300 and something down to, I think there was 50 people when we got there. The school only had 50 kids from preschool up to matric, 50 people. The income was nowhere near being able to meet the needs of the school or the church. I think the budget of the church at that stage was 60,000 rand. The income was 15. It had been like that for years. Do you know how deep that hole was? But there's one thing that I can say to you today. That as hard as it is, if God's put you there, he's going to do it. Because the Bible says, the battle is the Lord's. He's just looking for faithful people that will just stand there and that will just obey him and just radiate his goodness. That's all. That's all. It doesn't take Mighty Mouse to see a move of God. It just takes faithful people. Faithful people. And I want to ask you, will you be faithful? Will you be faithful? Will you be bold? Will you pray big prayers? Will you trust God for amazing things? Let's trust God together for a revival and the fire of God and the goodness of God. Seeing people being set free. Oh, that, I think that's the greatest thing. The greatest thing. I've spoken enough now. Won't you bow your head, please? We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Come, just let's lift our voices. Corporately as a church, just lift our voices. Just magnify him. We've spoken about being thankful. Just thank him for something. You've spoken about supplications for yourself, for the body, for those in authority. Just lift your voices now and just start to just put into practice what we're learning from his word. Oh, thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. We love you. We love you. You're a great, great God. There is none like you. There is, Lord, you are just so beautiful. Thank you, my Father. Thank you. Nothing is impossible for you. We exalt your wonderful name, Jesus. We thank you that you are good. You are good. You are good. Hallelujah. You hear every cry. We hear every cry that we have. Father, you've not missed not one thing. You've seen the pain. You said those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Father, I pray that the tears that people have sown, the heartaches and the trouble and the pressure and even maybe shame, God, I thank you that you will turn it to laughter. You will turn it to joy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You said that us that have lost moms and dads and fathers and homes and everything will receive 100-fold. Father, I thank you that you are a rewarder in spite of the hard things that we've been through as we have faithfully served you, as we faithfully bowed in our knee, as we have faithfully declared who you are. Jesus, I thank you that you will break through and that you would reward your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. While every head bowed and every eye closed tonight in this place, maybe everybody is a Christian, yeah, I'm not too sure. But if there's somebody that isn't, or maybe there's time in your life you used to be serving God, but you're not serving God any longer. You can't say that your heart is sold out to Him. Stuff has just got in the way. Things have happened. And you've become cold towards God. And I sense there's such a strong presence of God tonight to just drawing people back into His presence because you are valuable. The Bible tells us that nobody comes to Him unless He draws him. And right now, if you're sensing a tugging on your heart to come back to Him, that's because He's demonstrating His love to you. You're special to Him. Will you bow your knee and say yes to Him? And if that's you, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have, but you just become cold, and you sense God's calling you back, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus tonight. Can I ask you very quickly, just put up your hand and say, yes, that's me. Will you pray for me, please? I can't take you to heaven. Nobody in this room can. Jesus is the only one, and that's why we point you to Him. He's the beginning and the end of everything. The Bible calls Him your friend. Is there anybody in this room? You're saying yes to Jesus. You need Him. You need Him. He's not up for auction, but He sure is reaching out to you. Will you reach up and reach back to Him? Let Him take your hand. Let Him pick you up. Is there anybody in this room? Thank you. Is there anybody else? You can put your hand down, sir. Anybody else in this room that's saying, you know what? I'm not where I should be. We worship you, my Father. You're working in the hearts of your people. And I thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Your word says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I thank you. There's no shame in this place. But tonight there's rejoicing because your word reminds us that if anybody comes back to you, you say the angels in heaven are rejoicing. So, Father, we on earth rejoice as well in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody else? You're saying, yes, that's me. I need Jesus. I don't want to prolong this, but this is important. Changing someone's destiny from eternally separated from God to be eternally with God is the number one goal of us as born-again believers in the church of God. Anybody else? Can I ask us all to stand, please? I want us to join in with the angels in heaven celebrating. So, can I ask you to come and join me in the front of here? We're going to pray with you. Come on, lift up your voices. Thank God for this. This is amazing. Come on, somebody come with him. Come, people come with him. You know him? Come. Come, I need a comm leader. I need people with him. Come, come. Who's here? Hallelujah. I just sense the presence of Jesus all over you, sir. The enemy has almost been successful in beating you up. But God's held you in his hand. And he wants to remind you tonight that he loves you with everything that he has. And if there was one thing on the cross that Jesus did not accomplish, I believe, Basil believes, that he would have come again and done it all again just for that. There's nothing that he did not accomplish to help you. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Will you say it with all your heart, and all of us as a congregation to pray it together as we pray boldly. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Your word has touched my heart. I come tonight. I bow my knee and my heart to you. I declare Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. I give you my life tonight, Jesus. Take it. Use it. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you now. Every bit of shame goes. That which the enemy intended for evil, I thank you. You're turning for good. In the name of Jesus. I thank you that from today onwards, he's going to experience the supernatural presence of Jesus. I thank you. He's going to understand that the joy of the Lord is his strength. That he knows that you are for him and not against him. And I thank you. No weapon formed against him can prosper in the name of Jesus. I thank you that from today onwards, he builds his life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And I thank you and declare he will become strong and courageous for you. In Jesus' name. So every thought that the enemy has ever placed on him that doesn't line up with your word, I pray that you'd help him to bring it captive. In Jesus' name, we thank and we give you praise. Amen. 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 Come on, let's celebrate that. Hallelujah. Can I shake the hand of a great man? Well done, sir. Well done. Well done. Well done.